Saint Peter Chrysologus, Saint Barbara, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. As I just mentioned, I spent a week in Africa very recently. That's where I was last Sunday. For some of you, it may come as a surprise to see me standing here at all, much less in perfect health and with all of the limbs and body parts that I brought over with me. And this is certainly due to some extent to all of the fervent prayers that you offered up for me while I was gone. And I'm very grateful for all of you who prayed to God to preserve me, which He certainly did. It was an exciting trip. I've traveled a lot in the United States, and apart from that, I have been to Canada and Europe, but they were both very different from Africa, so I didn't really know what to expect before I went. As it turned out, the conditions over there are very different from here, but of course, people are basically the same wherever you go. Of course, Nigeria is a very poor country, and the people sacrificed a lot to keep me in the kind of comfort that I'm used to as an American. But in a lot of ways, it was still kind of like a camping trip. One difficult aspect of the trip was the heat. Nigeria is in the tropics, and this is one of the hotter times of the year because it is in the southern hemisphere. It was in the 80s and 90s most of the time I was there, and it was very humid, and most places don't have air conditioning. So you can imagine what it was like to go around in a cassock or in the black suit with several layers of clothing underneath that. I think our dry cleaner got some extra business after I came back. There are a few other small sacrifices like that for an American going to Nigeria, but their hardship in being deprived of the sacraments for most of the year is far worse than my hardship in being in a warm place without air conditioning for a week, so I didn't really mind. Another thing that was a shock, actually, was the way people drive. There are no lines painted on the roads. You can pretty much drive wherever you want, as long as there isn't something else already occupying that space. Those of you who see the videos after Mass, you'll see what I'm talking about. In the cities, especially in traffic, people constantly drive only a few inches from other vehicles on the road. That's just normal for them. And on two-lane highways, people don't have the slightest problem with passing against oncoming traffic. People just move a foot or two to either side towards the outside of the road if they have to let the car that's passing drive down the middle. Or if they can also merge back into their lane just about 100 yards before they would have hit you head on. This is even more disconcerting because most of the cars over there are very old, and a lot of them don't have working seat belts, which probably wouldn't save you in a head-on collision on a highway anyway. I told the people over there that I wanted to bring some of my laxer sheep from Ohio to Africa and take them for a ride down a country highway, and in a few miles they would be very willing to go to confession. I must say, however, that the people that drove me around were very good, and I didn't doubt their skill, so I didn't really feel afraid. Well, there was one cab driver that I wonder about. He was driving me to the airport on Thanksgiving so that I could go say Mass at the next city that I had to visit. And as we were driving along, as I found out later, he was actually driving the wrong way down the road. I didn't even notice at the time. And there was a policeman on the side of the road who waved at him to pull over, and the cab driver actually swerved the car in an attempt to run over the policeman. And the police chased us down, and they brought us into the police station. And after some haggling, they agreed to let the driver go with only a $100 fine. Actually, a $100 bribe. I think that was when I felt all of your prayers the most, when I was there in the police station, wondering what was going to happen to us after our cab driver had committed, I think it would be called vehicular assault on a law enforcement officer. In this country, someone who pulled a stunt like that would spend several years in prison. But fortunately, over there, it only cost $100, and no report was filed with the police. So he didn't even have to worry about his insurance going up, if he had any. But unfortunately, I missed my flight because of that. But at least I didn't get into any trouble with the law. Thanks be to God and to all of your prayers. That's how I spent my Thanksgiving this year. I was very edified by all of the people I met in Africa. The people I visited live in three different cities: Lagos, Owerri, and Port Harcourt. And there are about a dozen faithful in each place. They came to a knowledge of the true faith, first by attending the Indult Mass, and then by reading more and more about the faith on the internet, and finding out about the changes of Vatican II that we all know about. They all sort of knew each other from the beginning. I think they were sort of a circle of friends. And they made their way to the traditional Catholic faith more or less altogether, and this was about 6 or 7 years ago. They have never had a resident priest, but Father Leslie, the missionary in South Africa, used to travel to Nigeria to say Mass for them once in a while, until he was tragically murdered by a robber a couple of years ago. Since then, they have only had a priest once a year. Father Ercole went a couple of times, and this year it was my turn to go. But despite not having a priest to say Mass for them, they managed to hang on to the faith and to persevere, and it's really edifying to see their piety. They all assisted at Mass very devoutly, and many of them brought religious articles for me to bless so that they could foster their piety with these objects until the next time a priest came to bring them their Eucharistic Lord. In fact, in two of the places I went, someone brought a 5-gallon plastic tank of water and asked me to bless it and make it holy water so that they would have enough water to last them and to share with others until the next year when a priest came again. I told them, of course, that in a case like that, it would be permissible to add a little bit of water once in a while to keep up the supply. But I was wondering how many of us, if we knew that we would be deprived of a priest for a year, would think to bring so much water to be blessed so that we would have enough to keep our holy water fonts full in our homes. Probably not many of us. Of all of the lessons that I learned while I was there, that is what struck me the most, which is that these people appreciate very dearly the little that they have in the way of religious benefits, religious graces. They only have Mass once or twice a year. After all, since there were three different cities that I had to visit in a week, all quite a distance apart, I was only able to say Mass two or three times in each place. But the fervor with which they assisted at Mass was very edifying. Because of their work schedules, on most days when I was there, they asked me to say Mass for them at about 6 o'clock in the morning. And yet I had practically as many people for those 6 a.m. weekday Masses as I had on Sunday. And most of the people were young people, too, and that was also another thing that was surprising, to see such zeal on the part of these people in their early 20s. Because these people knew that this was their one chance to obtain the graces of the Mass until next year. And so they made great sacrifices to take advantage of it. And I thought to myself that we have Mass at much more convenient times here during the week. And how many of us attend a weekday Mass, even once a year like the people in Africa? In fact, while I was there, they asked me how they could keep their fervor and their love of God strong, even without the sacraments. And I told them that they could obtain more benefit by attending Mass fervently 2 or 3 times a year than someone who attends Mass every Sunday, but who is careless and lukewarm. I told them that there are people in Ohio who live only a few minutes from the church, but who only attend Mass on Sunday, and they were very surprised. But I didn't mention any names, so don't worry. But these people are an example for us. They cherish the little bit that they have. And if they had what we have here, all these beautiful ceremonies and prayers and devotions, they would attend Mass much more often than many of us do, and with greater fervor. And yet they are not the ones who are blessed. It is we who are blessed, and we don't even realize it. But God will require a greater accounting of us than he will of those pious souls in Africa, because we have greater opportunities for merit than they do. Think about the parable of the talents. We are like the servant who received 10 talents. God will expect us to produce 10 more talents with what he gave us. They have received only 1 talent, and God will expect only 1 talent in return from them. But I am sure that he will receive much more than that. So how do we correct this situation? Well, as Chesterton said, the only way to truly measure the value of something is to imagine what it would be like not to have it. Today we have made a spiritual journey to the missionary country of Africa. Let us try to imagine what it would be like and how we would attend Mass if we could only do so once a year. In the sacristy in this church here, there is a sign on the wall that I love very much where the priest vests for Mass, and it says, "Priest of God, say this Mass as if it were your first Mass, as if it were your last Mass, as if it were your only Mass." If a priest could say Mass only once in his life, he would say it with very great devotion. And the same could be said if we could attend Mass only once a year. But think about it, the Mass is the same whether we attend it only once a year or every Sunday or several times a week. It's only our dispositions that change. But that is something that we have control over. So let us try to imagine the fervor that we would have if we could only attend Mass once a year, and then realize that the only reason we don't attend Mass like that every time is not because the Mass is not worthy of that, but rather it's because we take it for granted. And so let us try to prepare ourselves for Mass as well as possible every time we attend. And let us attend it as often as possible, because it is truly the greatest blessing in our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.